And then at the close of that, I do have some remarks. And so really, I'm not missing out one little bit. So let's just look to the Lord in prayer before we look into the scriptures. Father, just thank you that we can gather in this way. And I want to thank you for those today that led us in worship. I just thank you for their hearts and also their willingness to do this to glorify you. And I just want to thank you for everyone here today. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our struggles. Lord, you know our disappointments, our hurts. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and just, Lord, just heal those issues in our lives and give us the peace, Lord, that passeth all understanding. So we just want to just lift ourselves up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Could you believe? Could you even imagine that just 24 hours before Jesus was going to die on the cross, that the disciples were arguing? And what were they arguing about? They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. Now, folks, they had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And here he is. His soul is troubled. We know that because shortly after this, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And remember, he was in great agony, that drops of sweat and as it were, his blood came down his face. He was in total agony. Now, can you imagine the Lord Jesus, 24 hours before he dies, and he's going to the cross for each one of us, here's his disciples, oblivious to what's going on. And what are they doing? They're arguing about who is going to be the greatest. Now, where did this take place? Well, it took place prior to the Passover. And remember, I went and I found these sequence, because when you read the different Gospels, you wonder, well, was it during, was it after, was it before? And this sequence I found interesting. Okay, first of all, in regards to, what was the Passover? Remember when the Israelites came out of Egypt? Before they come out, what happened? What was the 10th plague? The death of the firstborn. And remember what God said to Moses and to Aaron? What were they to do? They were to take a lamb, they were to slay it. The blood was to be put on the doorpost. And he said, when I see the blood, what? I will pass over you. That was the first Passover. Do you know that the Passover is the oldest religious festival in the world? The Passover. Now, this is the last Passover. That was the first. This was the last Passover that Jesus himself, he attended, of course. He was going to die. But here's something interesting. Did you know that in 70 AD, so let's just for quick calculation say that Jesus died in 33 and a half years. That was the length of his ministry, okay? In 70 AD, okay? So just less than 40 years from the time that Jesus dies, the temple is destroyed, no more Passover. No more Passover that was celebrated at the temple. Now, Jesus is celebrating the Passover, and remember after that, what did he institute? He instituted the Lord's Supper, which we call communion or the Lord's table, but he institutes this after the Passover feast. Now, let's back up. The disciples are arguing who's going to be the greatest. And John introduces something, or tells us something, that the other Gospels don't record. Two things I want to share this morning. Number one, in Scripture, especially the Gospels, not all events are chronological. What do I mean by that? Well, it means that one writer, for whatever his purpose, I'm not saying the entirety of it, but there's some events that he will move ahead, and it's for the purpose for which he writes. The other thing is, I said two things. The other thing is that we must remember that each gospel writer had definitely a purpose for writing, okay? And is it interesting that John only records this story? Why does John do it? Well, I think that led by the Spirit of God, number one. But number two, what I want us to think of this morning is this. When we were together a couple weeks ago, we talked about a broken heart. We talked about a pure heart. And today, I want to talk about a servant or a humble heart. Now, Keith, would you go on down, please? Now, I think you're prepared. Would you do what I forewarned you to do? Okay. Now, who is going to be the greatest? Today, the Gentiles, as Jesus referred to in Luke chapter 3, those that are in top positions, they like to lord it over people, don't they? And sometimes what really bothers me is you get a policeman, and back years ago, is there anybody here that was a policeman? I'm sorry. You've broke the law. Okay, I've been speeding. And he comes up beside you, and you roll down the window. And do you know that you were doing 30 miles an hour back then, miles an hour over the speed limit? And he's got this cocky voice that, you just like to smoke him. You just like to smoke him. Now, that has changed somewhat in the police force. They want to sort of come alongside. A few of them have been smoked and ended up in a coffin. So they learn from that, and I'm not saying all, but you give some people just a little bit of authority. Wow, it goes straight to the old noggin. All right. So what does Jesus do? During the feast, I should mention this here, just a little outline, and quickly, Passover prepared. Jesus sits with his apostles. Jesus desires to eat the Passover. Disciples strive over who is the greatest. And then John records something that I'm going to do. Now, what Jesus did, okay, here the guys are. Now, who normally washes the guests' feet? Servants. Servants wash the guests' feet. Now, as they wear sandals in Jesus' day, do you know something? I got a sister-in-law that wears sandals 365 days of the year. Yeah, I told her she was crazy. Yeah, no. Anyway, sandals, and your feet would get dirty. And so what they would do is if they came to your house or before a meal, one of the servants would come and wash your feet if you were invited to a home. But in this particular case, it was the Last Supper of the Passover. Now, apparently no one had thought about doing that. But Jesus used the opportunity to teach a very important lesson. And please take your socks off. Yeah. Okay. Now, before I start, do you know what I got for Christmas? Debbie and Keith ate. Give us a little care package for the poor Robinsons so we wouldn't starve over Christmas. Do you know what was in there? You'll never believe it. There was a jar of toe jam. Honestly, a jar of toe jam. Now, not what you think. It was actually delicious. Okay, now I'm sure. Pardon? Well, it's a jam. You talk to your mom. Okay. She'll explain that to you, RJ. Okay. This is, so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to wash, obviously, Keith's feet. Now, what am I going to teach? What am I teaching in all of this? That none of us in position are too high. We must all be willing to serve as a servant. Okay? But Jesus had another reason. Jesus used this not only to teach the fact of humility, but I'm going to explain the rest later. Okay. I think I better take my watch off. Okay, put that foot in there. Okay, good. Now, you know when the last time I saw this done was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm sorry. I don't think Jesus did that. Okay. In Atlanta, Georgia, and it's when my nephew and niece, Mike and Carrie, at their wedding, what they did, see, at some weddings, you'll have the candelabra. You know, you blow out the two outside ones, light the center. There's the sand one. There's the rope one. And they did the washing of the feet. And that was beautiful. Can I have the other one, please? No, the other left. Okay. Now, Keith, I'm sure glad. You had a shower before you came, right? Good. Okay. Now, that's important. Why did I ask him that? That's important. Okay, thanks, Keith. Thank you. You put your feet there. You don't have to put socks on for a minute because I want to just... You know what Jesus was teaching them? Not only that we all should stoop down, be willing to serve, but also Jesus taught them a wonderful lesson. Do you know what happened? Jesus came to Peter and wanted to wash his feet. And you know what he said? You know what he said. Oh, no, Lord, not me. Why? Well, probably because, not that Peter felt that his feet weren't clean, but Lord, you shouldn't do that. And Jesus went on to teach in that lesson is that, do you know something? When you have a bath, in those days it could be a public bath, probably most cases than not, because they wouldn't have them in their homes. If you are bathed, because Peter's response was, then Lord, if you don't do my whole body, you know, Jesus said, no, you don't need to because you are clean. Jesus just wanted to wash his feet. Why? Well, because the bath spoke of our union or being part of the family of God. But notice Jesus says, and we'll come to that just in a minute, and that is, you know, not all of you are clean. Who do you suppose was there that wasn't clean? Oh, yes, it was the treasurer. It was Judas. Judas was not a true follower of Jesus. Oh, he followed him around, but his heart wasn't right. And he wasn't right with God. And Jesus was teaching that, you know, if you have a public bath, that's okay. That's great. You only need your feet cleaned like what I'm doing. That's just like every day in life. Because we sin, does it mean we have to get saved all over again? No. If we disobey God, we are to, as it were, cleanse our feet. Now, cleanse our heart. How do we do that? Okay, number one, we confess our sin. The other thing is we turn from. Now, a word in the Bible which means turn from is repentance. Repentance means a 180, not a 360, but a 180, a total. Okay, I was going this way, Lord, But now, I'm sorry. This is the way I'm going to go. I'm going to follow you. Thanks a lot, Keith. Thank you. That's okay. I won't fall over it. Maybe. Because I was washing his feet, I want to disinfect my hands for COVID reasons. Okay. So, just to summarize here, because we don't want to keep people late today. What was Jesus trying to teach? The creator of the universe. He was, according to Scripture, the one that was going to take our place at Calvary. He was willing to stoop down. And you know what he was teaching them? Yeah, the greatest among you is those really that serve. And the second thing he taught them was that, you know, daily we become defiled. Oh, yes, it can be through the eye gate. It can be through the ear gate. It can be something that you saw. And oh, young people, your ears, don't look at evil things. Listen, because those images stay in your mind. They stay. Stay pure. How do we stay pure? We stay pure by reading the Word of God, confessing our sin, turning from our sin, and allowing God's Spirit to come in and to fill us so that we can honor and glorify Him. Now, this is what I want to conclude with. Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, just his outer garment, and returned to his place. And he asked, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him." And then he goes on to say, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I just want to ask or answer a question that might be in your mind this morning. And that is, why don't we practice foot washing? Okay? Well, there's nothing wrong in doing it if we want to symbolize humility. But we don't need to do it on a regular basis. There's something in Scripture. Something with Scripture that's interesting. Of course, Scripture is interesting. If it's taught in the Gospels, practiced in the book of Acts, expounded on in the epistles, yes, those are the things that we should, like the Lord's table, yes, that and baptism, those are the things that we ought to practice. Now, what did Jesus say if you do it? I really believe what he's saying is, in your service, show it, that you're willing to wash one another's feet. I want to ask you this morning, what about the marginalized? Wow, it's tough. It's tough. But are we willing to serve those that, you know, they're not clean? I'm talking about they need a bath, they smell, and they live in that. What about those people? What about the people that are so... they have succumbed to the evils of this world. And really, I want to put it this way. They're guilty. They have self-inflicted themselves with these things. Okay? Sometimes we want to give up hope. No, it's just like a beggar. What about a street person? I don't suppose we have many of them around Sterling, and I hope not. But see, what is our attitude in serving our fellow man? I believe today we live in an age when people want to be served. Oh, and why did I bring this out this morning? It's got an application not only in our daily lives, who we reach. What about those that are bullied? Do we reach out and defend them? But you know what? Even in the local church, we can think that, you know what? Let's let everybody else do it. I just want to be a beneficiary of what they do. Oh, guess what's going to happen? But oh, if we all have that humble servant attitude or heart, wow, we can have a wonderful impact on the world. And Jesus said that they would be blessed if they did it. Shall we pray? I'm going to ask Marty to come. Lord, just thank you for the wonderful lessons we can learn from the Lord Jesus. Lord, from the scripture. Lord, help us not just to have head knowledge, but Father, help us to put into practice what we already know. And so today, Lord, you have told us how we should serve. Help us to bring that to fruition in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.